Now? She asked, her voice full of disbelief. Yeah, I nodded. She sighed with relief. Great. Can you tell those morons to stop coming around here and trying to talk to me? The two doors down the hall opened. Two boys around our age came out, one with a video camera and another with a gadget in his hand.
The temperature is dropping out here, the shorter one said. The cold spot is moving.
I went still. Were they? No. They finally noticed us and jumped about 3 feet in the air. Shit.
What the?
The taller one swallowed hard.
What the hell are you guys doing here? Checking out an old building. What about you?
Asher asked, moving to my side.
I'm Travis,
the shorter one said. He had an average face with dark hair and gray eyes. He gestured to his taller, leaner friend.
That's Keith. We're looking for proof there's a ghost here.
Isaac tried and failed to cover his laugh with a cough. I elbowed him in the side.
So you're what, ghost hunters?
Ethan tried to cover for his brother.
Yeah.
Keith had a nice face, black hair and silver-rimmed glasses. The woman waved her arms around.
See what I mean? They're here every other day now, and I'm sick of it.
I made eye contact with the soul and tilted my head toward the back of the group.
Asher, stall, please, I barely whispered.
So how do you do that?
Asher asked, walking over to them. The guys began explaining as I slipped back behind the twins. The ghost joined me.
I can't deal with them, but I can help you cross, I whispered.
Her brown eyes lit up.
Oh, yes, please. Get me out of here, she said adamantly. I'm so ready.
What's your name? I asked, my voice still low.
Esther,
she said. I gave her a smile. I pulled off my bracelets and tucked them into my pockets. Esther's energy hit my barriers. Thankfully, they had gotten stronger. I vaguely felt pressure in my chest. A heart attack? I wasn't sure. I focused on Esther's need to move on. That gold thread wrapped around her wrist. I dropped it down immediately. The veil was quiet as we hit the grass. Esther let out a deep sigh of relief as I let go of her.
Thank you so much. You have no idea how long I've been there, Esther said emphatically.
It's what I do, I shrugged. Should I expect any other souls in the building? Esther shook her head.
There were others once, but over time they disappeared.
Her eyes focused as she met my gaze.
You need to get those boys out of there. There are these things there.
What things? I demanded instantly. My pulse picked up.
I don't know. I've been hiding from them for years, she admitted.
A golden door shimmered into sight. I'll get them out of there, I promised. She smiled.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I didn't bother to wait for her to cross. Something was in the building with the guys. I pulled myself out immediately. I opened my eyes and blinked hard to get my bearings.
The temperature is rising, Travis snapped. Damn it! Sorry, I was just curious about how you did what you do.
Asher offered. I was about to turn around and let the guys know we needed to go when the hair on the back of my neck stood up. The sudden feeling of being watched washed over me. My heart pounded as I looked down the other side of the hall toward the west wing and lifted my light. There, near the walls, was a pitch-black shadow figure. My skin crawled.
Ethan,
I whispered. He turned to me.
Yeah.
I swallowed hard. Can you see that? I asked quietly. Ethan looked to where my light was.
No,
he whispered back.
You see something?
I nodded. My stomach nodded as I looked at it. It wasn't just a shadow where you could see through to the other side. No, the black of its body was so thick I couldn't see past it. Dread filled me. This was definitely not a ghost.
Asher, we need to leave, I whispered, knowing he'd hear me. All of us, now.
Well, since you're done here, why don't we all hit the diner for some late-night food?
Asher offered.
Our treat for ruining your night.
I kept my eyes on that shadow figure, and it kept watching me. It felt...
I can see it now.
Ethan said. Shit.
We're not done. We still have a couple hours to work.
Travis said. Another shadow figure emerged from another door. I threw subtlety out the window. We need to go, I ordered. The figures started moving down the hall towards us. Now! Zeke and Asher grabbed Keith and Travis. They dragged them down the hall. We turned and ran back the way we came. Travis and Keith were shouting, asking what was going on. When we reached the staircase, I skidded to a stop and let the others go first. I watched as the two shadow figures came towards us. Sweat ran down my back as I turned and ran, following the boys down the stairs. When we hit the second floor, there were two more on the far side of the corridor.
"Anyone else see that?"
Keith asked. "Faster!" I shouted. Everyone picked up the pace. When we hit the first floor, it was clear. Everyone ran for the door. Zeke stopped and made sure the others got through first.
"Run, you ass!"
I shouted as I bolted through the door. Zeke followed right behind me. We ran until we reached the gravel. I turned, out of breath, to look at the doorway. Nothing was coming. I took big, gasping breaths as I watched the entrance. What the fuck were those things? They felt...
"Everyone okay?"
Zeke demanded. There were several yeses and yas.
"Why the hell did you guys yank us out of there?"
Travis demanded. Asher started making something up. Zeke stepped between me and the building. I looked up.
"Lexi, you all right?"
he asked. I nodded quickly several times as I reached up and wiped some dust off my neck with a trembling hand. Frowning, Zeke reached out, his hands cradled my face gently, forcing me to keep meeting his eyes. His hands were warm on my skin.
"Lexi, what did you see?"
he whispered. I swallowed hard. "I don't know," I whispered back. "But it was bad. Really bad."
"If that was true, then why is she white as a sheet?"
Travis demanded. The scent of limes and spice mixed with the scent of engine grease as Zeke let go of my face, his large hands moving to my shoulders, the weight comforting.
"She probably has low blood sugar right now,"
Asher offered.
"She didn't eat much at dinner."
Keith eyed me.
"Bullshit. She saw something," Travis declared. "Something we didn't see. Not until we were already moving."
Keith seemed to be thinking out loud.
"Ethan, get her in the car,"
Zeke ordered. Ethan wrapped his arm around me and started walking me back to the Jeep. Travis came toward me.
"What did you see?"
Isaac moved to intercept. Zeke moved with Ethan to get me in the Jeep. Isaac held his hands up and gave him a charming smile.
"Man, she just has low blood sugar. Diabetes runs in the family." "I don't buy that,"
Keith announced before pointing at Ethan.
"Because you said, 'I can see it now.' Then you were hauling us out of there."
Travis moved around Isaac and headed straight for us. Zeke moved between us.
"Are you psychic?"
Travis demanded. A light sparkled in his eye. Zeke blocked his view of me. I sat down in the Jeep. Ethan stayed in the door. He leaned over me, then handed me my water bottle. I took a sip.
"She has low blood sugar and a seizure disorder,"
Zeke growled.
"That's it. Now leave her the fuck alone."
Keith came over and grabbed his friend's arm.
"Come on, man. We've got enough footage for tonight."
They both began to walk away. Everyone stayed put until they drove off. There was a collective sigh of relief.
"What did you see in there, beautiful?"
Ethan asked gently. The others gathered around the open door. "When I got back from helping the ghost cross, I got this really bad feeling," I explained. "A solid black figure walked into the hall from the other wing. That's when I told Asher we needed to go the first time."
"The first time?"
Isaac asked.
"She whispered it so those guys wouldn't hear,"
Asher explained. Isaac nodded. "It watched me," I watched it, and it felt... I swallowed hard. It felt evil and hungry. It scared the shit out of me. So when another one walked into the hall and started coming towards us, I just yelled, "Run," I admitted.
She asked if I could see anything, and I couldn't,
Ethan offered.
Until right before we ran. But what were they?
Isaac asked. I have no fucking clue, I admitted. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. The silence was thick as everyone absorbed that.
Get in. We're out of here,
Zeke ordered. I was happy to scoot over so Ethan and Asher could get in beside me. We were halfway back to town when Zeke broke the silence.
Lexi, do you want to stay at Miles's tonight?
I can't. Hades is at home, and I need to figure out what those things were, I replied. Isaac held up his phone.
It sounds like shadow people,
he announced. I raised an eyebrow. He continued to read from his phone.
Thought to be an entity from a separate dimension, demon or ghost, most, if not all, are parasitic.
He looked back to me.
That sound about right?
I gave him a small smile and nodded. Yeah, that feels right. When Zeke pulled up to my house, I was still a bit out of it. Asher slid out of the Jeep. When I climbed out, I stumbled. Asher caught me with an arm, then made me meet his eyes.
Allie?
I'm fine, I said instantly. Just a little off balance. Turning to the house, I shuddered. I really hated the front of this house. Asher took my arm and walked me to the door. I didn't really need to hold on to him, but I wanted to, so I didn't complain. I walked into the house and turned back to him. His worried eyes ran over me.
You sure you're okay?
He asked, quietly. I nodded. He frowned even more.
If you need to talk, call me, all right?
I nodded again.
Night, Allie girl.
Night. I locked the door behind him and turned on the alarm. I was feeling numb as I turned to find Hades on the couch.
How'd it go?
Rory asked as he walked into the living room area with a beer bottle in his hand. I met his eyes. His smile disappeared.
Lexi?
Where's Tara? I asked immediately. Rory put the bottle on the end table and strode over to me.
She's at a friend's house tonight,
he answered. He lifted my chin and checked my eyes.
What happened?
I just saw something I've never seen before, I began, and it was scary as hell. Rory pulled me into his arms. I held on tight.
What did you see?
He asked gently. I explained what happened as he let go, and we moved to sit down. The numbness slowly ebbed away as I spoke. Eventually, when I was responding enough to his questions, he went into the kitchen. When he came back, he handed me a mug of hot chocolate with marshmallows. It made me smile. He sat down on the couch and leaned forward with his elbows on his legs.
Now, kid, didn't Serena say you were going to be seeing more things as you got stronger?
I nodded absently. Yeah, she said I'll see stuff, then need to figure out what it is. Rory raised an eyebrow.
You've been dealing with groups of dead people since March. You're crossing them in groups still, right?
Yeah. I didn't see where he was going with this.
Kid, you are way beyond what any of our family has known,
he explained.
Before you came here, I had never heard of the veil, or that there was a way to cross souls. Hell, I didn't even know that you could. From family stories, the girls always had extreme trouble dealing with it, and they
all died before they turned 30. I finished for him. His mouth pressed into a tight line.
Yeah, but kid, you're ahead of the curve here. You have Serena to call and ask when something like this happens. You have the guys out there who know how to help if you get jumped. You have an enormous advantage over every generation of women that came before you. And you don't go down without a fight.
I sighed. It felt that way a lot lately, and I was sick of it. I just wish there was a manual, an idiot's guide to necromancy, I admitted with a grin. He smiled.
Maybe you'll write one for your future kids.
I snorted and shook my head. Oh, no. No kids for me. I'm not passing this shit on, I stated adamantly. His smile turned sad. Wait until you're at least 25 before you make that decision, he advised. See how things are, then. The air took on a heavy weight with the elephant in the room. Tara. She was obviously going to live a long life. Emmanuel, huh? I thought about it. It wouldn't be a bad idea. I wonder. Rory, do you think that any of the women in our family could have written down what they knew already? Rory's eyes were thoughtful.
Maybe. I could find your grandfather. He still has all the family stuff.
His eyes focused again on me. Grandfather? I'd never heard Rory talk about him before. Not really.
I'll see what I can do. But for now, go get some rest.
I nodded before heading upstairs with Hades. I changed into my jammies and lay down, nudging Hades toward the edge of the bed. The bugger had started taking the outside of the bed after I came home from the hospital in January. I hadn't minded then, but now he took most of my bed. I quickly called Serena and got her voicemail. I explained what happened and asked her to call me back. I needed to know what those things were. I was still lying there, looking up at the ceiling, dreading going to sleep, when my phone vibrated on my desk. I reached over a sleeping Hades and checked my texts. Miles,
I heard about tonight. Are you all right?
I smiled to myself. Of course, the guys told Miles. Alexis. Yeah, just spooked. Miles.
Are you sure?
I looked up at the shadows moving over the ceiling. Was I okay? I was getting tired of that question. Tired of asking myself over and over. Alexis. I'll survive. Can't sleep? Miles.
As usual. Sweet dreams.
Alexis. Night.
Chapter 5. Sunday morning. The hand on my shirt dragged me through the snow. I didn't want to go. I fought his hold until he pulled me in front of him, his hand on my throat, squeezing.
In time, you'll see. Our marriage will be perfect. Our children will be beautiful,
he said confidently. Rich, musky cologne was thick on my tongue. Planning to rape me? I snapped through my teeth. His free hand moved. I jerked awake, biting back a scream. I was still gasping when I recognized my room. Feeling Clay's hands, smelling his cologne, I got out of bed and started pacing. My heart slammed in my chest as I ran my hands through my hair. It's April. I'm at home. Clay Orden is in jail. Isaac beat the shit out of him. I'm safe. I don't need a shower. I kept pacing in front of an anxious Hades until I realized what was happening. I was having a panic attack. I needed to do something. Hands shaking, I changed out of my jammies, then hurried downstairs. I needed to do something. Anything. I could cook breakfast. I walked into the kitchen and began pulling out pots and pans. I needed... Shit! What did I need? Asher would know. Asher. Yeah. I left the kitchen, grabbed my keys from my hoodie, and hurried outside. Hades trotted beside me as we went to the blazer. It's April. It's morning. I ran over it again and again until I pulled up in front of Asher's house. Sunlight barely peeked over the mountains, warming the ground, causing fog to rise. My pulse was pounding in my ears as I turned off the truck and climbed out. Hades pressed against my thigh as I went up the front steps and tried the door. It didn't budge. Why wasn't it unlocked? Asher usually left it that way when he was home. Still dazed, I unlocked the door. Asher would probably be in the kitchen. It was morning, so that's where he'd be. I headed for the kitchen with Hades still pressed against my thigh the whole time. I didn't mind. It was comforting. The kitchen was empty. Where was he? My mind raced around in frantic circles as I looked out the window and watched the fog rise off the grass. I was so lost in my mind that I didn't hear anyone come downstairs.
Allie?
I jumped,
My heart skipped as I turned around. Asher came into the kitchen in a pair of Marvin the Martian PJ bottoms and a white tank undershirt. His hair was everywhere while he blinked at me. The world came back into sharp focus. "Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up," I said, feeling guilty. He stopped a foot from me. His eyes ran over me, growing worried.
"What's wrong?"
he asked gently.
"Did you have a nightmare?"
I looked down at Hades and nodded. I bit the corner of my lower lip as my eyes burned. "It was the cabin," I started. "I woke up and had a panic attack," I admitted, looking up at him. "The doc said to do stuff to stop it, to distract myself. I wanted to make breakfast and I couldn't figure out what I needed, so I ended up here." Asher's face softened.
"Come here,"
he said in that rich baritone that I loved. I stepped into his arms and rested my head on his chest. He held me tight, one hand cradling the back of my head. I took a deep breath and drew in vanilla and cinnamon, all the tension inside me easing a little. "I didn't mean to wake you up," I said pitifully.
"You can wake me up any time you need me,"
he said softly. I smiled into his shirt. He gave me a squeeze before letting go. He kept one of my hands in his and gave me a tug.
"Come upstairs. You might be able to catch a couple more hours of sleep."
I nodded and followed him upstairs with Hades on my heels. Asher led me into his bedroom. His big double bed called to me with its slept-in white sheets and blue and orange striped comforter. I didn't hesitate. I towed off my sneakers and climbed in. The bed dipped and moved as Asher got comfortable. His arm wrapped around my waist as he tucked me into the curve of his body. I was half asleep when I remembered who else was here. "What about your sister?" I muttered. Asher's face was buried in my hair at the top of my head.
"She can go to hell,"
he mumbled back. I smiled as I fell asleep in his arms. An annoying humming woke me up. Groaning, I tried to move only to find I couldn't. Something was heavy across my chest. I opened my eyes and looked down. A muscular forearm was between my breasts, the hand spread against my upper chest, fingers brushing my collarbones. Asher? Still half asleep? I held his hand as I felt him start to wake up. Asher's face rubbed against the back of my neck.
"I did it again, didn't I?"
he mumbled, his lips brushing my skin. "Uh-huh," I muttered as I tried to wake up. His fingers squeezed mine. I let go of his hand so he could pull his arm away from me. He rolled away.
"Sorry."
He did something to make the annoying vibrating stop. "Don't care." I snuggled further under the covers to go back to sleep. The blankets were pulled off my head.
"If you want to get to Miles before the twins, we need to get going,"
he told me. I grumbled, rolled onto my back, then opened my eyes to look up at him. He was on his elbow next to me, his other hand holding my blankets. "Do I have to if I don't want to?" I asked seriously. He snorted.
"Yeah,"
he countered. His eyes narrowed on me.
"Why did you want to meet with us before the twins got there?"
I sighed and met his eyes. "Sophie is ready to cross."
"Shit."
He lay down on his back next to me, his shoulder touching mine. There was silence for a few minutes.
"When does she want to go?"
She was willing to wait to talk to the twins until after their cousins left. I reached up and wiped gunk from my eyes. I have to tell them when she breaks a guitar.
"And you want to talk to us about how to tell them?"
he surmised. He rubbed his hands against his face hard.
"Okay, coffee. We need coffee."
He dropped his hands and sat up on the side of the bed. I grumbled as I got out of the warm blankets and went in search of my shoes. Hades simply lifted his head and watched. Apparently, he didn't feel the need to abandon the comfy bed so soon. I found my shoes near the door and pulled them on. When I turned back to Asher, I froze. He was by his dresser on the other side of the room, shirtless. My mouth grew dry as my gaze ran along the sculpted muscles of his shoulders, down his muscled back, and, dear Lord, he had two dimples near his butt, just above the waistline of his pajama bottoms. Damn. I swallowed hard and forced myself to turn around.
Ash, you could have waited to change until I was out the door, I pointed out.
He chuckled.
Jessica's downstairs. Do you really want to deal with her this morning?
I started weighing my options. Stand in the same room while a hot-as-hell Asher changes and not look? Or deal with his twin sister, Jessica? Yeah, not much of a choice. I'll take your sister, I admitted. I've got to take Hades out anyway. I patted my leg. Hades came to me instantly. I kept my back to Asher as I slipped into the hallway. When the door was closed, I let out a deep breath. Holy crap! That guy was... and his back! Dimples? Come on, Lexi, get it together. I moved downstairs slowly, hoping I could get outside before Jessica saw me. This was not the day to hope. I was almost down the stairs when footsteps came from the kitchen.
What the fuck are you doing here? Jessica shouted.
I sighed. I had to remind myself I made a choice. I stepped off the stairs to turn to Asher's twin sister. She towered over me, her pretty face furious, her mouth hanging open. She was wearing pink Hello Kitty pajamas with her sandy blonde hair back in a ponytail. The whole image was rather funny. I came by early to talk to Ash.
Are you fucking my brother?
She shouted. I sighed. No, I'm not fucking your brother. I'm friends with your brother, I reminded her patiently. She scowled as she looked at my hair and lack of makeup. A door opened downstairs. Jessica shot Asher a dirty look.
Are you bringing hoe bags into the house now?
I shook my head and headed for the front door. There was no talking to Jessica. She hated me, and there was nothing I could do to change her mind. And quite frankly, there was nothing I wanted to do either. Asher, however, had something to say.
Shut it, Jess,
Asher snapped. I turned at the door to watch him step off the last step.
I'm sick and tired of your issues with Ali,
he stated clearly, his face hard, his eyes bright.
She's my friend, and is welcome in this house at any time, day or night. You can ignore her, or you can treat her as a guest, but your screaming is over. I'm done with this bullshit.
Asher stepped away from a gaping Jessica and came to the door. Stunned, I opened it and headed out with Hades. Hades was taking a leak on the mailbox before I could say something.
Wow, Ash, I said, impressed.
He rubbed the back of his neck as he looked back at the house.
I've just had it, Allie,
he sighed.
She's been acting like a stranger for years. I'm tired of trying to find the sister I remember in that person.
I reached over and took his hand. He took a calming breath and let it out. He squeezed my hand before tugging me toward his red truck.
Come on, we've got to go grab groceries for brunch.
I let Hades jump into the back of the cab before climbing into the front seat. Asher was quiet all the way to the grocery store. I rolled down my window a bit so Hades would be comfortable before getting out. It didn't seem to matter. He was on his back asleep anyway. We headed into the store and grabbed a cart. I pushed while Asher checked out the cantaloupe in the produce section. He was so thorough, making sure everything was ripe, that it made me smile. He noticed.
What?
He asked. Nothing, I shrugged. I just didn't know you did brunch every week. We headed into the bakery section.
It's cheaper than ordering it in,
he hedged. I smiled. You like doing it. His cheeks tinged pink as he focused on picking out fresh croissants from the bakery. He pointed out which ones he'd like, then turned back to me, his eyes full of shadows. Ash, is something wrong? I asked gently. He sighed.
My dad's been giving me a hard time lately,
he said as he took the box from the woman. He thanked her and put them into the basket before continuing.
He's on my case about Jessica's grades. Apparently, she's been ditching a lot.
I scowled. That's not your fault. You're her brother, not her father, I reminded him. He started looking at some oranges.
I know, but he won't deal with it, and she'll keep doing what she's doing.
His ocean eyes met mine.
And my sister might end up in some trouble she can't get out of.
Those are her decisions, Ash. She decides what she's going to do, not you, I pointed out. Your dad's the one who should deal with it. He nodded, his gaze unfocused.
I know,
he said softly, his eyes focused before they met mine.
Which is what I'm going to tell him next time I talk to him.
I went still. Asher was going to stand up to his dad? That's... You surprise me, Superman, I told him, a small smile tugging at the corners of my mouth. He grinned, then it started to fade.
That's not our biggest worry right now. I'm dreading talking to the twins,
he admitted. My smile dimmed. I don't know how it's going to go, but they need to talk to her.
That's what I'm worried about,
he said quietly. With that thought lodged in our minds, we got back to shopping. I was sitting in Miles' kitchen at the breakfast counter. Asher was making eggs and bacon while Miles was getting the coffee ready as Zeke arrived. The front door slammed.
Here,
Zeke barked.
Kitchen,
Asher answered. Zeke came in with scruff covering his face and his eyes half open. Miles immediately handed him a cup of coffee. He grunted his thanks before coming to sit on the stool next to me.
Why the hell am I up so early?
Zeke grumbled before taking a drink of his coffee. I waited until he finished drinking before answering. Because on Friday, Sophie told me she was going to be ready to cross soon. Zeke grew still, then slowly set down his coffee.
When does she want to cross?
Zeke asked, his gaze on the counter. She was willing to wait until their cousins left, so tomorrow, maybe? She'll let me know by breaking a guitar, I explained. But I still haven't told the twins. Zeke let out a deep sigh, braced his elbow on the table, and rubbed his eyes with that hand.
Fuck. One of the reasons we're here is to figure out the best way to tell them,
Miles said as he brought his own coffee mug to the breakfast counter. Zeke dropped his arm to the counter and shot Miles a look.
There is no best way to tell them,
he growled. He pointed toward the front door.
That's their little sister who has been stuck here because one of them pulled her back. And we all knew about it.
Asher took the skillet off the burner and moved across from me at the breakfast counter.
And we didn't tell them,
Miles added. The silence grew thick.
That day is going to suck,
Zeke growled. The others nodded in agreement.
What we need to do is figure out who's watching who.
Miles turned to Zeke.
Do you think that you and Asher can handle Isaac while I take Ethan? Ethan will be angry, but he is less likely to do something dangerous.
Zeke nodded, his eyes full of shadows.
Yeah, we can handle him. I'll sit on him if I have to.
Call me if you need a hand, Miles added. Zeke nodded. So that's the plan? I asked. All eyes turned to me. Tell them and you guys stop them from flipping out? They all nodded. Okay, that's not scaring the crap out of me, I said sarcastically.
Who is going to tell them?
Asher asked, looking over at Miles. I am, I said immediately. The guys all opened their mouths to protest. I cut them off. I'm the one who can see her. It's my responsibility to tell them.
Fine,
Zeke bit out.
But make it clear we all knew about it, too. Don't even think about taking all the blame yourself.
I shot him a look, mostly because the guy had read my mind. His piercing ice-blue eyes stayed on mine until I had to give in. Fine, I grumbled. Asher lifted his head.
They're coming up the drive.
We all waited until the front door opened.
We're here,
Isaac shouted. Kitchen,
we called back in unison. The twins came in, still half asleep and in their jammies. I smiled at the monster slippers on Isaac's feet. Everything grew busy as everyone dished up their plates. Once we were in the living room and eating, we were able to talk.
"What are everyone's plans for the week?"
Asher asked, before taking a drink of coffee. "Ethan and I have that trip down to Missoula Art Museum tomorrow," I reminded them. "That should be fun." Zeke's head snapped up. His gaze went to both of us.
"Take a kit." "As if we'd forget,"
Ethan huffed. Months ago, Miles had created an emergency kit for if I ever got jumped around them again. It was really only salt and salted holy water, but everyone had a stockpile of them everywhere. It had saved my ass in December, so I didn't mind the reminder. "I've got one in my hoodie and two in my bag," I reassured him. Zeke nodded. Appeased, he went back to his breakfast. "You guys are coming to the barbecue Rory is doing tonight, right?" I asked. Everyone agreed.
"Yeah, even Aunt Anna and the monsters will be there,"
Ethan offered.
"Other than the championship and practice, I have nothing planned,"
Miles announced. I smiled. "How's training going?" I asked before I took a bite of melon.
"It's going well. We're keeping it a bit lighter since the meet is on Friday,"
Miles said. "That'll be fun," I said.
"Then we can have a victory party,"
Isaac pointed out. Miles shook his head.
"I haven't even won yet." "You will,"
Ethan said confidently. His phone vibrated on the table. Ethan picked it up and checked it. "We could have a Miles party," I suggested. "Game marathon and snacks?" Miles sent me a grateful smile.
"Or we can hit a big party and Miles could actually meet someone,"
Isaac countered. Miles picked at his plate, his ears turning pink.
"I'd rather have a night with my friends."
"That decides it," Asher declared. "Video game party Friday night."
"Hey guys, Jocelyn Clark just texted me that her whole neighborhood had a power surge. It blew the transformer. It's the fourth time in a month,"
Ethan announced. He looked up from his phone.
"Now that you mention it, there have been more electric company trucks in town lately,"
Miles said.
"More transformers are breaking around town."
"I saw four yesterday alone,"
Asher added.
"Are they just old and breaking?"
Isaac asked before biting into a slice of bacon.
"I don't think so. The electric company came through 3 years ago and updated the entire system,"
Miles said. "I had a hunch." "Where does she live?" I asked them.
"Over on Walnut,"
Ethan answered. "And Walnut is right by the cemetery," I thought out loud, "where an ever-growing group of ghosts get together almost every day."
"You think the energy from the souls are affecting the transformers?"
Miles asked. I nodded. "With all the extra energy floating around out there? Yeah, it seems likely." My phone rang on the table. I set my coffee down, leaned forward, and picked it up. It was Serena. "I need to take this, guys." I got up and moved into the long hallway before answering. "Hey."
"Tell me again what you saw,"
Serena demanded. I moved further down the hall so I could have some privacy. "These human-shaped figures, they were completely black, as in, you can't see through them black," I told her softly. "One of my friends looked them up and said he thought they were shadow men."
"How did they feel to you? Sad? Confused?" she asked.
I licked my lips before answering. "Evil. And hungry." There were several heartbeats of silence.
"What you're describing is a shadow man,"
Serena finally said.
"How many did you see?"
I ran through my memories again. 4, I think.
"Where?"
she asked, her voice cold. Her attitude was starting to irk me. "The old abandoned hospital off the freeway, 30 minutes east from Spring Mountain," I answered, my voice growing hard.
"Well,
they were shadow men. There's nothing you can really do about them," Serena said in a lecturing tone.
I need to go. Hold on, I snapped. What the hell are they?
Lexi, haven't you been doing research?
She chided me. Yeah, and I still don't know what they are or what they can do, I shot back. She sighed in my ear.
They are parasites. No one knows where they come from. They latch onto a place or sometimes even a person and slowly kill them. Just stay away from the building and you should be fine, she said in an irritated voice. You really need to do more research.
That's it. Oh, I'm sorry. I've just been busy getting the dead to cross over and trying to fix the veil, I snapped.
Lexi, that's not my area, it's yours, she reminded me.
Except it affects the entire world and you know how to do more than you're telling me, I countered.
The silence on the line was thick. I answered your question. Next time, figure it out yourself. Goodbye.
Serena hung up. I resisted the urge to throw the phone into the wall. Ever since I learned Serena had lied to me about how much she really knew about working with the dead, our relationship had been on the downslide. I kept getting the runaround, and I was sick of it. I took several deep breaths before heading back into the living room. Asher was just finishing his story as I sat down and picked up my coffee mug.
Who was on the phone?
Asher asked. Serena, I said, keeping my voice light. She was just answering some questions for me. More like dodging them, but I couldn't tell them that. They had enough to worry about with the twins right now. Asher looked like he wanted to ask more, but Isaac jumped in.
So, Red.
Isaac turned to me.
Are you still coming to the skate park with me?
Yep. I thought about telling them I was getting my hair cut, then quickly decided against it. They were guys. It's not like they were going to care about my hair anyway. I just have some girl time scheduled with Riley first.
What do you girls do anyway?
Ethan asked.
Gossip and get manicures?
I smiled sweetly at him. If that was the case, you'd be there right along with us. The guys chuckled.
That's true,
Ethan admitted. The rest of brunch went on as usual, though I was quieter than normal. Serena's attitude and rush to get off the phone was still in the back of my mind. Why was she so reluctant to give me the answers I needed? One day soon, I was going to have a long talk with her, and it wasn't going to be a pleasant one. Everything was starting to feel like it was on a timer, and when time was up, all hell was going to break loose. I pushed away the feeling of time slipping away and focused on enjoying my time with the guys. Tick, tick, tick. Chapter 6. Sunday afternoon. Riley, Hades, and I were sitting in the waiting area of the salon looking through magazines, when I remembered I needed to tell Zeke where I was. I pulled out my phone and opened our usual group chat. Alexis. Zeke, I'm at a salon getting my hair cut, just so you're aware. I was about to put my phone away when it blew up. Isaac.
What salon?
Asher.
You're cutting your hair? How short?
Ethan.
Awesome. Get an undercut.
Zeke.
Why are you cutting your hair?
Miles, you never mentioned wanting to change your hair. Surprised, it took me a few seconds before I could reply. Alexis, because I want to. I'm over at Torrin's salon. Riley's aunt runs it. I'm still looking at styles. I'm doing it because if I roll over and yank my hair one more time, I'll start screaming. My phone blew up again. Isaac.
We're on our way. We want to see what you pick.
Oh, God, no. They wouldn't. Shit. What? Riley asked, putting her magazine in her lap. The guys, I said absently as I read the incoming messages. Asher.
Me too. Don't get in the chair until I get there.
Zeke.
I don't think you need to cut your hair.
Miles. I suppose I'll join you guys. I'm in town already. I raised an eyebrow. Seriously? What are they doing? Riley asked. I made the mistake of saying I was getting my hair cut,
I told her. Now they all have an opinion. Riley started laughing. Alexis, don't you dare. Ethan,
too late. We're in the car, LOL.
Oh, great. I looked to the stylist. She was just finishing cleaning the hair up from her last client. I grabbed a magazine and looked through it as fast as I could. Quick, help me find a style before they get here, I hissed. Riley instantly started searching. Why do they think they get to have an opinion? She asked, smiling. I don't know, I admitted as I looked up at the stylist who was fixing her station. I mentally urged the leggy blonde to hurry up. I didn't know what the guys were thinking. The stylist came towards the sitting area. Lexi, right? She said. I nodded and rushed to my feet. My name's Mia. She led me to her station. I sat down so fast, Riley began snickering. So, what are we looking to do today? I pulled my hair out of its ponytail and let it fall down my back. Myra gently lifted it over the chair. Oh my, when was the last time you had a trim? I thought it over. A couple of years ago, I offered. I know I want to take some length off. I was thinking just about the middle of my shoulder blades. I watched Mira nod in the mirror as she began to pull my hair into a braid. With your curls, I'll have to cut longer than that, or your hair will be up to your shoulders, she explained. Works for me. I resisted the urge to tell her to hurry up and cut. You know, your hair is very healthy. It'd be perfect for wigs for kids. Mira wrapped a band around the end of my braid. They make wigs for kids with cancer, women suffering from hair loss. Might want to hurry, Riley warned. Shit! Sounds good to me. It's not doing me any favors, I stated. Mira chuckled as she reached for her scissors. Come on, come on. The door to the salon opened. Oh, no.
Stop!
Isaac shouted dramatically. Both Mira and I spun around. Riley was in the waiting area, shaking her head. Isaac was standing in the doorway, still in his PJs.
Don't cut that winch's hair!
He puffed up his chest. Ethan gave him a shove from behind so he could come inside. Ethan was also still in his pajamas. I bit back a smile as they came over. What's going on? Mira asked. Incoming, Riley warned. Before I could explain, Asher strode through the door.
You're not buzzing your head, are you, Allie?
Asher asked, a grin on his face. I began to answer.
Screw that. She should buzz half her hair off,
Ethan announced, smirking. Isaac shook his head.
What about a pixie cut? I heard some girls talking about it at school. They said they were in trend or something.
Riley fell into a fit of giggles, all but falling out of her seat. Do you know what a pixie cut is? I asked. They shook their heads. I smiled as I looked to Ethan. It's what your ex had. Ethan's face cringed.
No pixie cut. No way,
he announced dramatically. The door to the salon opened again. Zeke strode over to the group, now surrounding me and Mira.
What are you doing, Lexi?
He asked. Cutting my hair, I said clearly. Zeke gave a slight cringe.
How about just a trim?
It's heavy and it's down to my butt, I pointed out. I need more than a trim. Riley started laughing harder. The bell over the door rang as Miles walked in. His gaze went to me.
You haven't cut your hair yet?
Miles asked, puzzled. I would, but everyone is being opinionated, I announced sweetly.
Yeah, well, I love your hair the way it is,
Asher offered, his cheeks tinged pink. A flutter of butterflies went off in my stomach. It had been a long time since I had felt them. They weren't huge, like they used to be, but the butterflies were there. Because it's heavy, catching on everything, and I want to, I explained. The twins opened their mouths to argue.
Lexi should cut her hair any way she likes,
Miles declared.
Hell no,
Ethan countered, going so far as to point a finger to the ceiling.
I say we call for a vote.
I snorted.
Yeah, a vote as to how she cuts her hair,
Isaac added. I smiled. I was so not going to follow the vote, and they knew it. We are not voting on how I cut my hair, I told them, holding back laughter.
I propose a trim,
Zeke announced. The others nodded. I shook my head, smiling. I knew exactly how to end this. I looked up to Mira, who was looking at the guys as if they had lost their minds. She met my eyes.
Yeah, I can settle for a trim,
Isaac voted. All right. My voice grew raspy as I raised it over all of theirs. I went to drink from the bottle in my lap to find it empty. Crap. I'm cutting my hair now. Mira, for every new opinion or complaint, take another inch off. The guys instantly went silent as Mira burst out laughing, Riley joining her. Asher took my water bottle from my cape-covered lap, then went over to the water cooler and filled it. When he came back, he handed it to me. I smiled, gratefully, and took a sip. Now, what were you guys saying? The boys looked at each other, then looked at me.
Cut your hair however you want,
Isaac offered, smiling. I rolled my eyes. Riley was down to giggles. Okay now, get out. This is our girl time. I'll see you guys later, I told them playfully. Ethan leaned in and kissed my cheek. Isaac did the same on the other, only to give me a raspberry instead. They all filed out of the salon door. When they were gone, Mira looked down at me. Who were those guys? She asked. Those were my friends. They're pretty sweet, she said, as she turned me in the chair towards the mirror. They're my guys, I said quietly. That feeling of being loved warmed me. Mira smiled and got to work. Another stylist came in and put Riley in the chair beside me. So what happened Friday night? Riley asked. Damn, I had hoped she had forgotten. I had a flashback, I said simply, hoping to drop it. How'd that happen? Riley asked, looking down at her lap so her stylist could work on the back. Ryan's cologne set me off, I admitted. She lifted her head and eyed me playfully. How did he get close enough for you to smell his cologne? I cursed myself. I just shouldn't have answered. He kissed me. Her eyes grew wide. Shut up! She all but yelled. Ryan kissed you? Mira asked me to look down. I was looking at my lap as I answered, Yeah. How was it? I had a flashback, Riley. I wasn't exactly in the right mindset to judge his kissing abilities, I reminded her sarcastically. Yeah, but... She shook her head. Ryan kissed you. And got chewed out and almost killed by the guys for it, I added. Riley sobered. Zeke almost lost it, huh? Everyone but Miles almost lost it, I corrected. I'll be surprised if he ever comes near me again. There were several heartbeats of silence except for the cut of the scissors. Do you want him to come around? She asked. I sighed. I'm not interested in him like that. I lifted my head to look in the mirror again. Riley eyed me before looking back at her mirror. Is there anyone you are interested in? She asked, carefully. Mira told me to look left. I did happily. I'm not looking to date right now, Riley, I reminded her, even if I wasn't crushing on three of my best friends. What about you? I saw you talking to a few hotties Friday night. Riley waved her hand dismissively. Those are just my friends. You know, the three I was trying to hook you up with? Was trying? I asked with a smirk. Have you finally given up? In a way, she said in an odd voice. Never mind that. Tell me how things went down with Ryan. Every detail. I sighed and told her everything up until my flashback. I still can't believe you didn't know he liked you, she said.
I still can't believe he kissed me, I countered.
Riley changed the subject to what happened after we left. Apparently, drunken antics by the football team occurred. She had me laughing for over an hour. Riley decided to get her nails done, and it was tempting to stay, but I was meeting Isaac at the skate park. I looked at my hair one more time in the mirror. The curls were frizz-free and a little below my shoulders. Myra hadn't expected my hair to have that much curl to it. I liked it anyway. As I finished paying, I said, "Go ahead and send my hair to Wigs for Kids." Myra smiled as she handed me my receipt. "You're going to make one little girl very happy." I smiled back, then headed out the door with Hades. I was almost to my blazer when I noticed him. Asher was sitting in his truck, playing on his phone. I walked across the parking lot and knocked on his window. He jumped, then gave me a sheepish look as he got out. "What are you still doing here?" I asked with a smile. His cheeks turned pink as his gaze ran over my hair.
"I wanted to see how your hair came out."
I ran my hand down the back of my hair, suddenly feeling self-conscious. "And?" He grinned.
"It looks good."
My cheeks warmed. "She took a little too much off," I muttered.
"It still looks good,"
he reassured me. I met his ocean eyes. "Thanks."
"You're welcome."
He looked away from me to the blazer.
"You're headed out to meet Isaac?"
"Yeah, he's going to try to teach me to skateboard," I said, my voice full of doubt. He chuckled.
"Don't get hurt,"
he warned. "I won't," I grumbled.
"I'll see you at the barbecue tonight, Allie."
Asher got back in his truck. I waved goodbye as I headed to the blazer with Hades in tow. The drive to the skate park wasn't long. It was just on the south side of town. I pulled up and climbed out. Hades' tail was wagging as we walked towards the cement section of the park. There were several others already there. A couple were riding down rails. A younger kid was practicing making his board jump. I didn't know the terms. I knew nothing about skateboarding whatsoever. I walked to the railings of the skate park and looked for any sign of Isaac. I found him standing with several others around what looked like an empty swimming pool. Isaac had his skateboard braced against the cement, the other end in his hand. I was about to shout to get his attention when he moved onto the board and rode it into the swimming pool. I watched as he moved across the surface and up the side, only to slide along the edge before dropping down into the pool again. He was moving fast as he rode up on one side, flipped his board over under his feet, before hitting the wall of the pool again. Impressed, I watched him run through several more tricks. Eventually, he was riding horizontally along a wall when he lost his balance. Instead of falling, he took several running steps to slow down. Several of the guys hooted and whooped. Isaac picked up his board and hurried up the side of the pool. He climbed out, practically in front of me.
"Hey, Red, nice hair,"
he grunted as he pulled himself up onto the walkway around the swimming pool. "Hey, Cookie Monster. Glad you like it. I guess I'll keep it." I grinned down at him. "That was impressive." He chuckled as he got to his feet.
"You have no idea what you just saw, do you?"
"Not a clue," I admitted, unembarrassed. His grin turned mischievous.
"Well, you're going to learn."
I eyed the empty swimming pool, then looked back to him. "Oh, no, I'm not."
"Just the basics, Red,"
he assured me as he took my hand and started walking. We walked over to the other side of the skate park, where there were fewer people and more open space. Hades found a spot on an empty bench. He immediately began to hog it. Isaac set his board down and stopped it from rolling with his foot. He tugged me to him.
"Okay, first, are you right-handed or left-handed?"
"Right."
"Then you're going to want to put your left foot in front and your right in the back. At least that's what feels right to me. Come on, step on."
I grumbled as I carefully stepped onto the board and immediately lost my balance. I grabbed his shoulders instantly. Isaac's hands went to my waist, steadying me.
"How's that feel?"
he asked.
I thought about it. Like I'm going to roll away any second, I said dryly. He chuckled.